KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is KNX In Depth. Mike Simpson and Charles Feltman.
30 years ago today, a dark moment in LA's history, as riots began following acquittals of four LAPD officers linked to the beating of Rodney King.
It's a very fluid situation. Cars on fire. A liquor store fully looted. Oh, there's another fire. Here we go.
We look back at the riots, explore what progress has been made in the city when it comes to policing, race relations, building up South LA. On this day, 30 years ago, LA Congresswoman Maxine Waters talked to KNX.
We'll also hear from LAPD Chief Michael Moore on how the department and policing in LA has changed in the decades since the violence. Attacked. Doctor, thank you again for being with us. What do you make of this poll, the LMU poll that I cited at the start of this segment, that said that more than two-thirds of the people who responded thought it likely that there will be other riots and disturbances sometime within the next 5 years here?
I don't know exactly that you can predict anything from those type polls, but I do think that people can look at the conditions that exist now. And I have had experience in three riots, as it turns out. I was here in 1965, and then in 1968, I was in medical school in Washington, D.C., was burned after the assassination of Martin Luther King, and then in 1992 for the riots. It seems that this is a cycle, a cyclical type thing, and there's a buildup of frustrations that happens in the communities, and then whatever the spark, and it seems insignificant and singular fashion by itself that it should do that. But these frustrations build up over a period of time. And from 1965 to 1992, a number of years where these events were happening. And I think that, you know, that after what we've seen nationally and even locally, that sometimes these events are subtle and the frustrations are there. And so predictability is hard to say, but when you look back at history, you can see that you know, that many of the events that that sparked the two previously partially exist now. But I do think that some preventative things can be done. I hope we're getting smarter and we can look and see what some of these conditions are and address them and prevent them from occurring. And the tinderbox that we see that can be diffused with foresight and effort on the part of the community.
Can you take us back to that operating room? Have you taken yourself back today in your mind, and what is it like?
I have a large file on this because it was a really intense time during my life. Of course, when I was called by the neurosurgeon to come and take care of him the night I was entertaining guests from India, and I had been over there playing polo for a while, and they were here. And when I got the call, I left Burbank, where I was at the time, and drove through the burning city and got to Daniel Friedman Hospital. I had an office next door there in those days. And before he was known as Reggie Denny, the poster child for the LA riots, he was a truck driver when I was called to see him. And when I came into the operating room and I reviewed the pictures again last night, and I have private pictures that I've never shared with anyone, I looked at his face and looked at the x-rays, and almost every bone in his frontal face was actually destroyed, along with lacerations of his skin, et cetera. So there were extensive injuries there. My training, to a large extent, initially was in head and neck surgery, and I have done a lot of reconstructive work over my career, and I spent a couple of years at a Hopkins affiliated hospital learning head and neck surgery, mostly related to cancer. But he had a very extensive injury, and he put the team of us through quite a bit in the 6 weeks ensuing his injury.
Dr. Madison Richardson there treated Reginald Denny shortly after he was attacked in Florence and Normandy. And then Brenda Stevenson, thank you for joining us. UCLA professor, one of the country's foremost experts in African-American history.
This is KNX News 97.1 FM.